everybody. This is Ordinary Christians. I'm Ron Sitlau. And today, Derek Bukuma, Bob Bauer, and I, we're going to talk about a dream that a pastor had. Is America about to fall? So I hope you join us and enjoy our time together.
Welcome to the next episode of Ordinary Christians. I'm going to set these guys up because we talked about what we're going to talk about. One of our members at church sent me a text and said, would you watch this video? It's really scaring me. And so I said, of course. So I watched it, and it was a story of it's a video of a pastor who claims he does not get a lot of visions and dreams. And he said he's gotten three dreams that are pretty clear about the nation. One foresaw a disease, a flu. Another one foresaw a disruption with racial disharmony. And then his third one really freaked this guy out in our church. And that was that the election coming up could be the end of America and civil war. So that led us three to talk about in this podcast about how do ordinary Christians face uncertainty with an election that could cause major chaos?
Well, first of all, you have to get a bunker. I think that's where we start. So an undisclosed location.
And lots of weapons.
That's right. Guns.
Also, it's important to note that he had this dream before Kanye West entered the race.
That's right. Oh, true. Cancel.
Yeah. Really... Everything is okay. Everything is okay.
Kanye is going to save America.
Yes.
I mean, just the first kind of breath is, you know, Jesus said that in the birth pangs, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and tribulations. And, you know, that's just kind of nations rise, nations fall. That is the nature of this world before the kingdom of God is fully established. And I think the first thing that the dream can help us do is dislodge any part of our life being built upon the foundation of what we see around us, even our country, however good it is, and the gift that it is, that if it were to fall, as Christians, we're built on something much more firm and much more long-lasting, and it gives us an opportunity to make sure we're built on the right thing.
I think that's really well said. I think that considering that, it's a reminder that we're firstly citizens of a different kingdom, and our desire should be for that kingdom before any secondary kingdom, any earthly kingdom.
So I was pondering on how my response. One of my responses to him was, we have to remember that we're living in a context of 2020 and we think it's terrible. And I said, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there have been way worse times. And right. Some of it is young people, millennials, have never experienced the kind of trauma. Can you imagine going through the Civil War? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Literally in the same country, people killing each other.
Yeah.
Then you go to World War I, World War II, the Great Depression. I mean, we don't have food lines. We didn't have bread lines. You know, so one of the things I said to him is, it's not as bad maybe historically with the world. Mm-hmm. Than what you're experiencing right now. You're freaking out because it is very unstable, but there were times that would be way worse. And you know, it was kind of one of those, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, think about the bubonic plague, which, I mean, it killed 25% of the global population.
Mercy.
The pandemic flu that we're facing is not anywhere approximating that.
Yeah. And, you know, you just think about Nazi Germany and Nazi Europe and the destruction of all those governments in Western Europe, that, you know, that was horrific. And today you can walk from Germany to France to Belgium, and they don't even, I mean, they may have borders now because of COVID, but it's all open. They are a, you know, a democracy, a liberal democracy. And so chaos comes and goes, and so does stability. One of the things that I think, it reveals that something like that would just unseat us. It reveals that we forget who we are and what we're called to do. It is amazing if you read the New Testament and just do a word search of the word gospel, how many times it's in reference to defending it. into proclaiming it, into sacrificing your life for it, for spending your life for it. And that's our life. That isn't like just for a few people who get paid for it. That's the life of every follower of Jesus. And one of the things that will happen in great unrest is that the gospel becomes very beautiful to those who are hurting and who are dying and who are suffering. And it will be a great, there will be a great harvest. And that harvest would be one of the reasons why God would allow such turmoil and hardship to happen. And, you know, I have this, my good friend Todd Hunter, he gave me this image or to some of us when 9/11 happened. And he said, you know, you know, those planes hit those buildings and you saw all those people running out and all those people deathly afraid and, you know, the dust and all that stuff. But then you saw in the same breath, all those people running in who laid down their life for the sake of others. Mm-hmm. Well, anytime there is great tragedy or trouble, the follower of Jesus, we are the ones who run in,
amen,
not the ones who run out. And praise the Lord for that.
Amen. I think it goes back to, somebody said it recently, church, don't waste a crisis. Mm-hmm. Instead of running away from the crisis, run to it and see the gospel in it. And some of the church's finest hours have been, so let's just say it does get chaotic. I mean, I don't want that. I want a peaceful land. I want people to get along. But I also would call us all out to seize the crisis for the gospel,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and to display this in a broken world.
I think that's wise. I do think that was Rahm Emanuel who said, never waste a good crisis.
Really?
Well, you know, Bob is a big fan of Rahm. He always, since he lost his finger.
Don't get us off track. Bob, please, I beg you not to.
I think that, you know, it's interesting because sometimes people, there can be a pessimism related to this, but the reality is that if the Lord tarries, America will probably fall and certainly not exist in its current stage. I mean, very, very, very few nations continue to exist that, you know, that were in existence at the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was living. And so nations rise, nations fall. They take different, you know, different appearances at different times in history. And so America is not going to last forever. It won't last forever. And so if the Lord tarries, it's going to experience substantial decline, or it's not going to exist, or it's going to exist in a different sort of way. It's going to become broken up, or any one of these sorts of things. And all of that is feasible and possible. And, but the church is going to continue to stand because the gates of hell aren't going to be able to prevail against it. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus. Christ Jesus will continue to be on the throne. And nobody's going to be able to take him off of it because he is more powerful than anybody that would be a pretender to the throne.
The last thing I'll
say about this is that Cardinal Francis George, who is the cardinal, you know, Ron and I minister in the Chicagoland area, Bob, you too, but just a little bit further away.
Yep.
And one of his most famous quotes was, "I expect to die in my bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr in the public square, and his successor will pick up the shards of a ruined society and slowly help rebuild civilization as the church has done so often in human history." And so certain people have talked about that and have been like, well, that's so deeply pessimistic that there will be such opposition to the church that his successor will die in prison and the next one might die a martyr in the public square. But notice how even in this sort of pessimistic comment about human culture or about American culture, there's this notion that, yeah, but guess what? The church is going to continue to exist, and we will, in fact, rebuild this culture for the sake of the world because the church is all about the life of the world.
Yeah. Mm. Just two things I think about. One is that historically speaking, the world is the most peaceful and the most safe and the most prosperous ever in human history. So that is true, and yes, it's worth keeping before us. And the second thing is that, you know, this ought to give us a little bit of a discernment to know that, you know, in the turmoil, you know, people pick sides. And, you know, the church actually stands above that. And, you know, we stand with the brokenhearted. We stand for compassion and justice. We're not, you know, instilling kings over here. We already have one. And so in this, you know, in this moment, we are the ones who declare that all is well to those who would trust Jesus. It's okay. You know, look to the birds of the field, look to the lilies, and look how God cares for them. How much more important are you? And that God will sustain us and that God is trustworthy. And we have to keep our eye on the ball. And that is something that, you know, I need, especially, yes. I think we all need our eye on the ball, the gospel.
I want to take that and run with it a little bit. I think part of the call for the ordinary Christian, I think when I look at ordinary Christian, I think of a guy driving his truck right now down 80-94. Mm-hmm. I think of a mom who's sitting at the, you know, at the Playland at McDonald's. I think of a senior citizen sitting at home. How should we approach from now to November? I would challenge taking what Ron just said, is that I think as Christians, we need to focus more on the invisible kingdom than the kingdom of this world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what's happening is people are so getting most of their information from the kingdom of this world, CNN, Fox, podcasts, the internet. But I think the discipleship ordinary Christian is we need to focus more on this invisible kingdom where Jesus is the king and he is an invisible kingdom that supersedes whether or not America rises or falls,
right,
using what Derek said. And to meditate and ponder on the kingdom of God, that means that we're alien and strangers and sojourners in a land, but our kingdom is not of this world. Is that?
Amen. You know, it's so interesting. You know, my Facebook, it gets tumultuous because I have a lot of friends who disagree with me. And I'm actually really thankful for that. But underneath it, what no one knows about is that, you know, when one of those friends who see Christianity, politics, worldview very differently, when they're in crisis, we talk and I get to be their friend and minister to them and to be, to love them as image bearers. And so you see, you have the thing on top, what people see, and then you have your mission, which is we're catching fish and we're seeking to introduce them to the man Jesus. And that ought to be our kind of inclination in every area. And to not to think that it's anything else, it doesn't serve us well.
So I'd like to take a little time now and focus on from July to November. How ought ordinary Christians approach this? What are the characteristics or the dynamics of an ordinary Christian from now to November? I'll just say a couple that come to my mind. I think we need to pray. And we would be remiss and stupid and not an ordinary Christian if we did not start praying more fervently for our country from now to November. I think it's November 3 when an election takes place. I certainly believe that James says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Mm-hmm. And we have to believe that. And so I would call us to days of fasting and prayer, to corporate prayer, to small group prayer. Because when you pray, you can pray with someone who's on the opposite side of you in the aisle politically. Yep. I mean, I remember just a couple of years ago, I was in DC with World Vision and had one of the most beautiful prayer times was in the basement of the Capitol. And the two prayer leaders were a Christian Democrat, a Christian Republican, they're best friends. They absolutely diametrically opposed one another in terms of the political policies. But they led the prayer group, and it was so powerful. Mm. So I would say one of the things ordinary Christians should be doing if we're truly a follower of Jesus is praying for our president, for both candidates, for Kanye, for us, for wisdom, discernment in this season from now to November. What else? What discipleship challenge for ordinary Christians?
I think there are two things that come to mind for me. Here's the first one. Be not afraid. That a Christian doesn't need to be afraid because Christ Jesus is on the throne. And it, I mean, this dream that this person had, it may come to be, it may not. I mean, there have been a number of people who have told me dreams that they've had specifically about me, and none of them have come true, sadly, because most of them are like incredible.
You winning the lottery, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And so it, you know, but whether or not it comes to be not afraid, because mm-hmm. God is on the throne. And the second is related to the first, and that is that we are living in a dark time right now. It feels to me that things are very dark, and I think that they will continue to be as we approach the election in November. And one of the things that a Christian needs to remember is that the light that we seek or that we hope for is not a particular political candidate. It's not America. It's not a certain form of government. It's not socialism. It's not capitalism. The light that we need is Christ Jesus. And John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so it doesn't matter how dark things are right now or how dark things will get, it will not overcome the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light.
Yeah, I want to play off that a little bit. And it is, one thing about light is it gets brighter as it gets darker. And we are the city on the hill, and we are the salt, and we are, the biblical record is that, you know, when the church suffers and the world suffers and the church is in the midst of it in her faithfulness to Jesus, that is something to be celebrated, to say, oh my gosh, I get to be part of a generation in which the world and the church is tested, and I get to declare Christ as Lord. And so, to the degree that we enter into the shadows and it becomes true personally or for churches or nations, we ought to see it as for the church, boy, this is an opportunity to make what is primary, to mm-hmm. focus on what matters, to let go of worldly things, and to be who we are, which is the glorious, victorious bride, and to shine to a lost and dying world that our King can take broken and awful and, you know, dying things and make them beautiful. And you can be beautiful too. And it's our chance.
I think that's great, Ron, because you've heard me say this, Ron, before. Derek may not, but I've always said, no one wants to go to a wedding where the bride is ugly.
Right.
Disheveled and doesn't have a nice dress on. And I think it's a time for the church to be the bride. Beautiful and radiant. And Amen. In the midst of this mess. Another thing that I would challenge us as ordinary Christians is a don't and a do. First of all, don't be a jerk. Mm-hmm. Too many Christians are jerks. They post the stupidest, controversial yes. stuff on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't be a jerk. Now, the do is way more gracious. And you guys are probably going, wow, he's really meaner than normally. Here's the do. Do be kind to one another, because that's biblical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to have people that are disagreeing with you politically, economically, views of socialism and capitalism and blah, blah, blah. Don't be jerks, but do be kind to one another. That's one another's of scripture yeah. that we are confronted with kindness.
I want to follow up on that and just add a nuance around not being a jerk. And not being a jerk, it does not mean that you are placid in the public square and say yeah. nothing and just float along right. in the ocean and just smile at people. Instead, what it means is into the degree that you have a public voice, whether socially or, you know, wherever in your family, the truth is always spoken in love. It's given as a gift. And when people come and they get defensive and they become jerky, you respond, you bless your enemies. I had a guy who just went off on me, and I did it as an act of discipline. It's like, bless you, brother. You know, and I was doing it. I didn't want to bless him, but I did it like that's what Jesus said to do. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it puts me in Jesus's world and not into the small world of debates and fights. And it's good to speak the truth, but if you don't speak it in love, it's worthless. And that's what Paul says, and we ought to adhere to that.
Amen. So, any concluding thoughts on the you know, obviously you guys have already said that, you know, this dream may not be true, but it certainly stimulated fear in this young man, and I was able to, you know, use some of the things we talked about. But I mean, more than likely, I don't think it's the end of the civilization in November. I mean, logic would say no. I think people can, but I do think there's a challenge for us to be ordinary Christians from now to November. Mm. Do you have any wrap-up thoughts?
This is my wrap-up thought. Please, people, keep your sense of humor. It is dying out there. And yeah. It is like, give me, you know, it's not so pessimistic that we can't poke fun at one another, have a laugh, you know, yep. have a little, you know, joy in our lives. You know, come on, buck up. The sun's still shining.
Yep. Good.
I'm gonna steal Ron's because I think that that's just really important. I think we've got to have a sense of humor. You've got to laugh.
Yep. And I would say, take a break. I mean, go on vacation. And one of the things I've noticed is that people, because of COVID and all that stuff, people aren't taking vacations. Vacations are good for the soul.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even I'm in going. The midst, I actually am going soon too, and I can't wait. I need to get off the busy bus. Well, thank you all for listening to Ordinary Christians. And until next time, God bless.